Mark chapter 11. Thank you, worship team. This morning, I want to share on the topic of, I titled this message, My House, a House of Prayer.
Amen.
My House, a House of Prayer. The book of Mark chapter 11, verse 12. Once you're there, if we can all stand for the reading of God's word. Mark chapter 11, verse 12. We're going to read through verse 21. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 12. The word of God reads like this. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. I hope you're hungry this morning.
Amen.
For the word.
Amen.
Verse 13. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit.
Come on.
When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves.
Wow. Come on.
Because it was not the season for figs.
Right.
Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. Don't you get mad when you go to the refrigerator?
Well, come on now.
And there's peanut butter, but no bread.
Oh, come on, Pastor.
There you go. Okay, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Come on.
That's kind of what happened to Jesus right here. Verse 15 says, on reaching Jerusalem, so the story changes a little bit, but I want you to know that what we just read is connected to what we're about to read.
Amen.
Don't forget that.
All right.
What we just read about the fig tree having no fruit is connected to what we're about to read.
Amen.
Verse 15, it says, on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple.
Amen.
The temple courts. Right. And he began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts.
Come on.
And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations?"
Come on.
For all nations.
Amen.
This is why we raise money for world missions.
Right.
Because Jesus cares not just about America, but about all nations.
Amen.
And he says, "But you have made it into a den of robbers or thieves." Then the chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him. For they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching.
Wow.
Now it switches again. Now when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. In verse 20, in the morning,
yes, come on.
The next day, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots.
Come on.
Peter remembered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look. The fig tree you cursed has withered."
Ooh, come on.
Father, bless the reading of your word to our hearts here this morning. Anoint it to our lives. Lord, help me to minister, to preach, and to teach your word here this morning. Thank you once again for this opportunity. I pray that you will remove all distractions and that we'll be able to be focused to hear your word, God, and hear the voice behind the voice. Lord, speak to every man, woman, and child here this morning. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, everybody says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. This morning, I don't want to be long because I want to spend some time after to pray for you.
Amen.
So this morning, I just want to share a few points. I want to bring out a few points out of this portion of Scripture. There's four things I want to bring out of this portion of Scripture. And what I want you to understand this morning is the importance of prayer.
Amen.
I want to teach you this morning a little bit of things about prayer. The first thing I want to show you here this morning is that prayer brings fruitfulness. Prayer brings fruitfulness.
Good.
The true fruit of the Spirit comes out of prayer. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, we see what the fruit of the Spirit is. The Bible tells us there in Galatians 5, 22 through 23, says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, in other words, self-control, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. So here in this verse in Galatians, it gives us the list of the fruits of the Spirit. There are 9 of them when you count them. 9 fruits of the Spirit. And so when we talk about being fruitful, we got to understand when we say, are you a fruitful Christian? What we're meaning to say is, do you have these things in your life?
Amen.
Do you have love in your life?
Oh, come on now.
Do you have love? And I'm not talking about that romantic love. That phileo love, you know, not that type of love.
No, no, no.
I'm talking about, do you have the love of God inside of you?
Amen.
I'm talking about, do you know that you are loved?
Come on now.
You will be surprised on how many people that don't know that they're loved.
Yeah. Come on now, Pastor.
We go to the streets, we evangelize, and we run into people. They have a lot of anger in their life. And I think to myself, maybe they have all this anger is because they don't know that somebody loves them. They don't know that there's a God that loves them. They don't know that there's a people that love them. That there's a church that loves them.
Man.
There's some people that grew up without love in their life. They grew up in a home that had no love.
Wow.
They were never hugged when they were a kid. They were never told I love you when they were a kid. They were never tucked in at night when they were a kid. Maybe that's you here this morning.
Wow.
Maybe you didn't grow up feeling loved. But I want to let you know that God loves you. And then when you give your life to Jesus, you experience the love of God. Do you have love? And listen, when you can't give something that you don't have. So therefore, when you know that you're loved, you're able to have the love of God. Guess what? You're able to give love. You're able to give the love of God. Do you have love? Do you have joy? Do you have joy, or are you always walking around mad at the world?
Wow.
It's you against the world.
Come on now.
There's some people that have that mentality. Me against the world, and they're mad at the world. They're mad at everybody, and they're mad at people they don't even know. They're mad at the dog, and mad at the cat, and mad at the government, and mad at this, and mad at that. They have no joy.
Come on now.
Listen, it's a miserable life to walk around mad all the time. God has created us to be a people that have joy.
Amen.
Joy in our lives. Peace.
Now.
Peace. Some people, they don't have peace. Ooh. You know, sometimes we get so anxious, we get anxiety attacks.
Oh, come on now.
Because the devil robs us of our peace.
Yeah.
Jesus said, peace I leave with you.
Amen.
He told the storm, peace be still. I'm here to tell you that, listen, Even in the midst of your storm, even in the eye of the storm, you can have peace.
Yes, yes.
I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're facing. You can have the peace of God when you have Jesus in your life.
Amen.
And the list goes on. Forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, to be faithful to God, to be faithful to your spouse, to be faithful in all matters, gentleness, self-control. All these are the fruits of the Spirit. In other words, they come from being Spirit-filled. They come because the Spirit is inside of you. They come because you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Why do you have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Because you're a man and a woman of prayer.
Amen.
And that's my first point that I want you to understand, is that prayer brings fruitfulness.
Yeah.
Some people say, well, I thought fruitfulness means fruitfulness in ministry. You know, you have disciples. Yeah, it means that too. But the only reason you have those disciples is because those disciples follow you because they see love inside of you. They see joy inside of you. They see peace inside of you. They see forbearance inside of you. They see kindness inside of you. They see gentleness inside of you. They see all the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. They see it inside. And yeah, we may struggle in some of them. We may lack a little bit. We may need a little bit more love. We may need a little bit more peace sometimes.
Come on now.
But they see these things in our lives. And so therefore, the ministry becomes fruitful. Your ministry becomes fruitful if you have these active in your life. But you won't have them active in your life if you don't have prayer in your life. It is in prayer that you get love. It is in prayer that the Spirit rubs off on you. See, a prayerless Christian cannot bring forth the fruit that Christ is looking for.
Wow.
Amen.
That's
right. Jesus went looking for fruit on the fig tree. But he didn't find them. He didn't find them. Wow. Let me tell you something here this morning. Jesus still comes and looks for fruits.
Yeah. Wow.
But he doesn't go to the fig tree no more. He goes to the Christian.
Wow.
He goes to the church. And he comes to Victory Heights Grand Prairie on Sundays and Fridays. And he's looking for fruit. He's looking, is there people in this church that has the love of God?
Come on now.
Is there people in this church that have the joy of the Lord? Yeah. That have the peace of God? That have the gentleness and the kindness and the goodness of God? Jesus is still looking for fruit today. Yeah. Jesus is still hungry today for some people that are Holy Spirit filled. Yeah. That are people of prayer. He's still hungry today.
Amen.
We got Zeke. Jesus is like Zeke. Hello, somebody.
Come on now.
Before there was Zeke, there was Jesus. Feed me. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Some fruit.
Amen.
Of the Spirit.
Yes.
Huh? A prayerless Christian cannot bring forth the fruit that Christ is looking for. So therefore, that prayerless Christian lives a cursed life. Jesus cursed the fig tree because it had no fruits. It had no fruits. And so therefore he cursed that fig tree. I know some of you thinking like, whoa, 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 whoa. Stop it right there. My Jesus don't curse nobody. The Bible talks a lot about blessings and cursings.
Yep, right. Sure does.
We choose. Are we going to live a blessed life or are we going to live a cursed life?
Come on now, that's right.
Huh? We know the Malachi says that when we hold back the tithe, we rob the tithe from God, that we come under a curse.
Right.
But here's another one. Listen, when we live a prayerless life,
wow,
and when we live a fruitless life,
jeez, come on,
the same way Jesus cursed the fig tree, we also live under a curse. And it's evident. Why? Because we have no joy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We have no peace.
Right, yeah, yeah.
We have no goodness, no kindness.
Come on now.
I don't know about you, but I don't want to hang around a person like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to hang around a person that has some joy. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Because listen, you are who you hang around with. Come on now. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to live a defeated life. I want to live a victorious life. I don't want to be kicking the can all the time. I don't want to be sad all the time. I don't believe that's how my Jesus lived. Hello, somebody. I believe that my Jesus lived a life full of joy, full of peace, full of self-control. He was a good Jesus. He is a good God. He is a kind God. Has God been good to you?
Yes.
He's a good God. He wants us to live this good life, this blessed life, this life that is filled with the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit.
Yes.
In John chapter 15, verse 1 through 2, if we're still having kind of some reservations about, you know, Jesus, you know, being hard on unfruitfulness, look at what John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2 says. Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruits, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you something. There's two cuttings here going on. There's a cutting that takes place when there is no fruit. You get cut straight right off.
Come on,
you know. Then there's a cutting for those that are being fruitful.
Come on.
See, this is why, listen, when God cuts you, when you're being fruitful, it's not because he doesn't like you or he wants to put you through a hard time. It's because he wants you to be more fruitful.
Right.
Yeah.
See? This is why sometimes even as Christians, you're going to go through stuff.
Right.
You're going to go through some trials. You're probably going to hit some hard patches in the road. Hello. You're probably going to hit some bumps in the road. But listen, the reason why God allows those things is because he's just pruning you. He's pruning you to bring out the best in you.
Wow, that's heavy.
Because sometimes we get to a place and we settle and we think, yes, I've arrived. And God is saying, no. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love them. In other words, I'm here to tell you that God, if you got something good, God wants to give you something better. And if you're a goody-goody, God wants to make you a better.
Yeah.
See, and here in Victory Outreach, we reach the roughest of the roughest, the toughest of the toughest.
Come on.
But listen, God also reaches the goody-goody.
Yeah, right.
Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
And make some better-betters.
Yeah, right.
Oh, come on now.
Man.
Some of you, before you gave your life to Christ, you wouldn't hurt a fly.
Wow. Come on.
Huh? Come on, somebody. But then God saves you, and he makes you to even a better person.
Wow.
This is why Jesus is for everybody.
Right.
He's just not for the down and outer. He's just not for the drug addict or the gang member. He's also for the white collar. He's also for the blue collar. He's also for the crooked politician. He's also for the lawyer and the doctor. Because but the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We all need Jesus. See, a fruitful Christian is a delight to Jesus Christ. A fruitful Christian is a delight to Jesus. But unfruitfulness is a frustration to Christ. Unfruitfulness is a frustration to Christ. This is why he went up to that fig tree. He was hungry. He was looking for some fruit. There was no fruit on it. He got frustrated.
Yeah.
He says, let nobody eat fruit from you again.
Wow.
Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but when Jesus comes and examines me, I want him to find some fruit.
Yes.
I want Jesus to find some peace in my life.
Yes.
I don't want to always be worried about bills and worried about this and stressed about that. And listen, we have bills. Come on, somebody.
Right.
They're there. They ain't never going to go nowhere.
Come on now.
Huh? But don't let it rob your peace.
Right.
We have problems. We're always going to have problems.
Yeah.
There's always going to be stuff that goes on. But don't let it rob your peace.
Yeah.
We got to learn to be like Jesus. That in the midst of the storm, he's taking a nap.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, come on, somebody.
Man.
Me and my wife, we got a saying. I kind of taught her a saying of mine. I told you before, amen. You know, I like to take naps. And the saying is this, when I sleepy, I sleep. Come on, somebody. Sometimes, you know, you got them days, we're out there grinding, we get sleepy. I sleep, amen. I'm going to take me a nap.
Right.
They ain't going to be stressing me out. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
That church ain't going to be stressing me out. Them kids ain't going to be stressing me out. That job ain't going to be stressing me out. When I sleepy, I sleep. Hello, somebody. And it's better for you because when I wake up ready.
Come on. Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Come on.
Be walking. Listen, I heard this the other day. Tiredness is a door that the enemy can walk through.
Ooh. Come on.
When you're tired, when you're stressed out, that's leaving the door cracked open for the devil to walk through. Because it's when you're tired, you begin to snap at people.
Ooh,
come on, oh, come on, somebody. It's when you're tired, sometimes you make crazy decisions.
Yes.
When you're tired. What did God do to the prophet, to Elijah, when he was depressed? He told him, go separate yourself, sleep, and then he fed him.
Yeah. That's good.
So what he did to him? You just need to get some R&R sometimes.
Yeah.
Huh? Listen, we need some fruitful Christians.
Amen.
It comes through prayer.
Yes.
Check this out.
Good stuff.
Jesus first encounters a fig tree. He comes to the fig tree. He's hungry. He goes to look for fruit. There's no fruit in it. He curses it. Where's the next place he goes? To the temple. Guess what he goes looking for the temple? He's looking for fruit in the temple.
Yeah.
but he finds none.
Wow, come on, Ellen.
Instead, he finds a busy temple.
Wow.
Money changers, exchangers, busy, 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 trying to make that almighty dollar. Well, come on, somebody.
That's true.
That's probably why some people ain't in church this morning.
Ooh, come on.
The boss called them in.
Ooh, come on.
Pharaoh called them in.
Right. Right.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you're too busy for God, you're too busy.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Say it again,
come on now.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I knew I wasn't gonna get no amens, but it's all right.
Come on.
Huh? He goes into the temple, and all he sees is busyness. All he sees is the money changers and all this taking place. And he goes, looks for fruit, but he finds them. He doesn't find peace. He doesn't find love. He doesn't find joy.
Wow.
He finds the opposite.
Wow.
Which leads me to my second point. If God's house is called... Well, let me. This is my second point. Erase that from your thought. This is my second point. I'm going to change it. When we don't pray, we end up robbing God.
Wow. Yeah. Come on now.
When we don't pray, we end up robbing God. We end up robbing God from that one-on-one time that he so desires from us.
Yeah.
You know why God hates sin so much? Because sin pulls you away from him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isaiah 59 verse 1. What does it say? It says, my hand is not short that it cannot save, nor my ear dull that it cannot hear. Yes. But your sins have separated you from your God.
Wow. Wow.
That's what it says, Isaiah 59 verse 1. Look it up. His hand is not short that it cannot save. His ear is not dull that it cannot hear your prayer. But it says your sins have separated you between you and your God. Sin separates us from God.
Right. Yeah.
And see, listen. Either prayer is going to keep you from sin, or sin is going to keep you away from prayer.
Wow. That's heavy.
Right.
Heavy, Pastor.
When we don't pray, we end up robbing God. Now, when we read this verse that we just read, these portion of verses, these verses don't mean the church can't sell a plate of food or a turkey leg. Hello, somebody.
Hello.
It doesn't mean that the church can't sell a church hat or a church shirt. But when you study the context of the scripture here, when you look into it, you find out that these people that were selling in the temple were selling for their own benefits.
Wow. Come on now.
And not for the temple or for the cause of God.
Wow.
But for the cause of making their own pockets fat.
Wow.
They were taking advantage of the situation and God's people.
Wow.
They were taking advantage of it. Listen, it's one thing if you're going to, you know, if you want to make your pockets fat, that's fine, but don't do it in the house of God.
Amen. That's right.
Right? God wants you to be blessed.
Amen.
Matter of fact, he gives you the formula to do it.
Right.
He says, work hard.
Yep.
Give your tithes, give an offering, and I will bless the rest.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible. There's so many scriptures about if you want to be successfully financially, this is the best book you can own right here.
Right.
Matter of fact, there's people that are not even Christians, but they read this book because they believe in the principles of success that are found in the Bible. But here, these people, they were taking advantage of the situation, and they were taking advantage of God's people. And the reason why is because they knew that a lot of people would travel from far and wide. A lot of Jews would travel from far and wide to Jerusalem. They would travel from out of town, from out of country. And they knew that they couldn't bring a little sheep all the way from Egypt or all the way from wherever they came from, because that little sheep wouldn't make it in the desert. So therefore, what they did is they started to sell sheep in the temple.
Wow.
So that those people, those Jews that came from out of town, can buy an animal to sacrifice in the temple.
Wow.
And so they were taking advantage of the situation.
Good. Wow.
They were doing to line their own pockets.
Wow. Ooh, come on now.
They were in the house of God, but they were not praying. So because they were not praying, their intentions became inward and became selfish.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, yeah.
This is why when we don't pray, we end up robbing God. When we don't pray, listen, like I said this morning, when we don't pray, we're not examining ourselves.
Wow.
When we're not in prayer, we're not examining ourselves. And listen, it's not easy to examine yourself on the go sometimes. Because everybody's talking to you, the phone is ringing, the radio is jamming, and you're thinking about this, you're listening to that commercial, and you're listening to this person, and you can't really truly examine yourself. You need to just sit down, get on your knees, concentrate on God, pray, seek the face of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to begin to illuminate areas in our lives. See, when we pray, it keeps our motives pure. It keeps our hearts pure. It keeps our minds pure. When we pray, I want you to know whenever there's a cell here, it's 100% for the cause of Christ.
Right, come on.
Whenever we sell, like today, we're having the food cell, the turkey legs, you know, even when they sell the little hats and stuff, I want you to know all that goes 100% for the cause of Christ.
That's right.
For either world missions or for the local church here.
Amen.
The work of the local church in reaching our city.
Man.
Everything that comes in, your tithes and offerings, your kingdom builders, listen, it all, whatever you give in the offering, whatever you give in finances, I want you to know it goes 100% to the cause of Christ to reach more people for the honor and glory of God. We have a men's home. We have a women's home. Our church has a youth service. We have Bible classes. We have rallies and evangelism. We send money to the world, to world missions. That's what we do with those finances. It's not to line our pockets. I tripped out last night. We went to the streets. We ran into somebody in the streets. And the person started talking about me. They didn't even know I was the pastor. You see, you know what he said? The Pastor Josh told me. He said, hey, he said, you got a Corvette. I said, I wish. You know, you run into some people out there, you know, sometimes they talk crazy. I trip out. But I want you to know, listen, that don't happen here. We don't roll like that.
Right.
Our heart's in the right place.
Yeah, that's right.
Our heart is in reaching people.
Yeah.
Our heart is into seeing people, hurting people, give their life to Jesus and just not leave them there, but to disciple them and to train them and to see them become the next man or woman of God, to see them become the next pastor that's taking a city, to see them become the next home director that's helping other men come off the streets, to see them become that evangelist or that missionary, to give back to society, to give back to the world, because we took a lot. I don't know about you, but I took a lot when I wasn't saved. When I wasn't saved, I was a demon out there. I was a devil out there. I stole every car. I broke into every house. Oh, but I'm grateful that Jesus saved me, and so therefore I want to give back. This is why I give. I give my personal finances because I believe in this vision. I believe in this mission to reach the hurting people of the world. Pastors and churches or leaders that line their pockets, it's because of a lack of real prayer.
Yeah.
Christians that just think about the almighty dollar, they need prayer in their life.
Wow.
You can't really pray and be in God's presence and still remain in your old ways of thieving.
Wow. That's it.
Christians that pray are Christians that tithe and don't rob God. It's true. Listen, there's some Christians, they don't tithe. They believe, they said a sinner's prayer, and they're saved. They're going to go to heaven. You know? They're saved, they're going to go to heaven. But sometimes they lack prayer in their lives. They lack prayer in their lives because the enemy comes to steal their prayer life. The enemy will always try to interrupt your quiet time with God.
Yeah. Wow.
He'll always come, and he'll always attack your quiet time with God.
Yeah.
And he'll cause the phone to ring and your boss to call. He'll cause all these things because he wants to interrupt your time with God. Why? Because he wants you to be like him.
My God.
The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the devil.
Yeah, right.
That's what the devil does. The devil is a thief.
Yeah, right.
And he doesn't spend time with God. He can't stand being in the presence of God. He doesn't like when he has to be in the presence of God, because sometimes God tells him, hey, you need to report before me. We know the book of Job.
Right.
And then God asks him, where you been? Oh, to and fro. I really don't want to be here, but since you're asking, I know I got to talk to you. To and fro.
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm? He doesn't like to be in the presence of God.
Right.
Listen, prayer brings us into the presence of God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Brings us into the presence of God. Too many rob God in the area of prayer.
Wow.
This is why Jesus told the disciples, couldn't you not pray with me an hour, 1 hour? In Matthew 26:40, that's what he told the disciples. Could you not pray with me 1 hour? He was over there praying, pouring his heart out to God on one of the most intense nights of his life. And he walks to see the disciples asleep.
Wow.
And he tells them, he wakes them up. He says, Peter, could you not pray? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? I believe an hour of prayer is the minimum we should give God.
Yeah.
Is the minimum we should give God.
Amen.
Oh man, I can't pray that much. Listen, just learn to sit in the presence of God.
That's right.
Put some worship music on. Read your Bible, meditate.
Yes.
Sit there and think about the goodness of God. Think about, count your blessings.
Yeah.
Think about everything and begin to thank Him for those blessings.
Yeah.
I know that He's blessed you a lot. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
How many times has He blessed you? Begin to thank Him for every single one. And let me tell you something. I'm sure you got some needs. Don't rob God of His time with you every morning or day. Seek the face of God daily. Don't give your time to everything else but not to God. Listen, even ministry. Even ministry. Don't let the ministry rob you from your time with God.
That's right.
Because you're no good to the ministry.
Wow.
Unless you spend time with Jesus.
Amen. Right. Yeah.
There because there you are doing ministry in the flesh.
Wow.
No love, no joy, no peace, no gentleness, no kindness. I don't want you in my ministry like that. You're going to scare everybody away. But when you are in the presence of God and you first and you get up in the morning and you give that first hour of your day to God through prayer and the word, I guarantee you your day will be a lot more better. You'll handle your trials a lot more smoother. Why? Because you have the presence of God, the power of God, the favor of God, the wisdom of God downloaded into your life. Don't you dare step out of that door. Don't you dare go to your job. Don't you dare go into this world without the power of God, without the presence of God, without the favor of God, without the wisdom of God. That's what I get when I get into prayer. I get the favor of God. I get the power of God. I get the presence of God. And I get the wisdom of God. And so therefore, I'm armed and dangerous. Venga lo que se venga. I'm ready for that chamuco. I'm ready for that devil. I'm ready for the world. I'm ready for whatever comes my way. Because I've been praying up. Thirdly, about prayer, if God's house is called the house of prayer, then I want my house to be called the house of prayer.
Come on now, amen. Good, right.
I mean, really think of that. Think of that. If Jesus said, my house shall be called the house of prayer, the piano player can come up. If Jesus says that's what He wants for His house, shouldn't we want that for our house?
Amen.
I mean, you think about a house and you see it. Have you ever seen a house that you wanted that you liked? That big, nice swimming pool in the backyard, mansion. And you drove past and you're like, man, I wish I had a house like that. Raise your hand if that's you. I've done it. Come on, somebody. Huh? Come on now. I've done it. But when you pass by those houses, how many of those houses have prayer in it?
Wow.
You know what? Jesus didn't ask for a swimming pool in the back of His house.
Wow.
He didn't ask for a mansion. He didn't ask for a big door. He didn't ask for a theater room. Or He didn't ask for 5 bedrooms, 10 beds. He didn't ask for none of that. But what He did ask, what He did say is, I want my house to be called a house of prayer.
Amen.
I don't care if it has a swimming pool or a jacuzzi or a 2-car garage. But I want my house to be a house of prayer.
Amen.
House of prayer. If that's what Jesus wants for His house, if that's what the Father wants for His house, how much more should we want that for our house?
Amen.
That's the problem with our society. It's not that we have too much guns in the streets. It's that we don't have enough prayer in the streets. We don't have enough prayer in our city. We don't have enough prayer in our homes. We need more prayer in our houses. Every Christian should want prayer in their house. Every household leader. And I'm not talking about you have a prayer on the wall. The Serenity's prayer. Right? Serenity's. And praise God if you do. No offense. Amen. Right? How does it go? Lord, help me to accept things I cannot change. And courage to know the difference. And I don't forgot that prayer. Right? You know, it's a nice little prayer. Amen. You know what I got in my house? I have a little sign that says, life is hard. So pray hard. Life is hard. Pray harder, I think it says. Pray harder. I look at that sign, that challenges me. I say, ooh, I gotta pray harder. Because life does get hard. Life does get hard. Let me tell you some prayer, when it's in your house, makes a world of a difference. People come to my house, they come and, you know, I got dogs, you know, two dogs. So they ask me, they don't fight? I said, no, they don't fight, man. We pray. Come on, somebody. I go to my pastor's house. My pastor has a lot of dogs. I be thinking the same thing, man. They don't fight. They don't fight. I said, man, that's some strong prayer. At one time, he had a dog and a cat in the same house. I said, whoo, I need some of that prayer. Because my kids are like that, some dogs and cats. I need to pray more because they're still fighting. Amen. Every Christian should want prayer in their house. Every household leader, check this out, if you're a leader of your household, every household leader should lead their house to prayer and ensure that prayer is not the spare tire, but the steering wheel of that house. Some people only pull prayer out when it's an emergency. Somebody's in the hospital. Oh, call the prayer line. Call the pastor. Call Victor Allen. Prayer, prayer. Put it on Facebook. Put it on Twitter. Put it up. Oh my. You know, a lot of times, you know, there's things that hit us. I don't go on, you know, and praise God, I'm not saying it's bad, but, you know, I don't do that stuff, you know. I learned to handle, hold my mug and say, you know what? I don't have to all the time. You know, if there's something deep, yeah, I'll call you for prayer. Don't believe me. But there's some things that, hey, man, I pray every day.
Yeah, that's good.
I pray every day.
That's good, Pastor.
Prayer is not an emergency for me. Prayer is natural.
That's right. Good.
When something good happens, I pray.
Amen.
When something bad happens, I pray.
Right.
When something so-so happens, I pray.
Amen.
It's prayer all the time.
Right.
Prayer in the morning, prayer in the noontime, prayer when the sun goes down. We pray for the food. We pray for traveling mercies. We pray.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Prayer needs to become a lifestyle. This is why prayer has to be in our house. And every household leader should make sure that there's prayer going on in their house. In other words, leaders of households should make sure that there is prayer going on in that house. My house is not just all about the Cowboys. Puro Cowboy, and then, you know, you see, you know, Cowboys, and that's, praise God, amen, I love the Cowboys. My house is not just all about the Cowboys. My house is not all about just comfort. It's not just a comfortable place. It's a war room. It's a base for the Segoviano family. I said, it's a base. It's a war room. It's a base, man. Then there's angels surrounding that house. There's demons mad at that house. Because they see in the spiritual realm. They see the prayers that are going up day and night. Lives are changed in our house. And those lives, number one, are our lives. My life is changed in that house. My wife's life is changed. My children, the people that live with us, are changed in our house because of prayer. We need to make sure that there's prayer in our house. And lastly, the last thing I want to share with you is this. Prayer brings the supernatural intervention of God. Prayer brings the supernatural intervention of God. Or in other words, miracles.
Yes.
Miracles. See, a miracle is when God's super touches our natural. And causes the supernatural. Like the case of the fig tree. Jesus approached a natural fig tree. But a miracle took place. A divine intervention took place. A supernatural intervention took place to that fig tree. Now, it's important to understand that sometimes we think about miracles and sometimes we think it's just a good thing. Miracles are just a good thing. Here, Jesus did a miracle, but it was a bad thing for that fig tree. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we can't put God in a box.
That's right.
Sometimes we want to, oh God, I want you to do it like this. I want you to do it like this. Do it good like this. And Jesus says, no, this type of, it's going to be a different type of intervention. I'm going to do a miracle, but it's going to be a supernatural intervention. And this time, this fig tree right here is going to get cursed. This is why the Bible says, do not lift your hand against God's anointed. Yeah, be careful. Let me tell you something. God loves you and God's going to watch your back. You don't have to always defend yourself. The truth goes before you. This is why when people get in the flesh with you, you don't got to get in the flesh with them. Just walk away. Praise God.
Come on,
man. God, take care of my lightweight.
Wow.
God, take care of my dirty lawn. God, you handle them. You ain't got to be over there dropping all your fruit. Man, there you are dropping all your apples and oranges and making a fruit salad all over you. There was this one disciple I had in East Dallas. He's a leader now. He's a pastor now. But when he was a young disciple, man, I was discipling him. And one day I walked into the church and he was all mad. Oh, man. Walking around the church pouting. I said, what's wrong with you? He's like, oh, I'm all mad. So I started walking around him going like this. Whoosh, 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 whoosh. And he looked at me and was like, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm making a fruit salad. He started laughing, man. He started cracking up. What? I never heard that. He dropped all his fruit. Sometimes Christians would drop all our fruits. We can't drop all our fruits. We can't drop all our fruits. I don't know why I said that. That's for somebody else. Somebody dropped their fruit this morning. I don't know. Pick it up, man. We're going to eat fruit salad, I think, No, I'm just kidding. Prayer brings the supernatural intervention of God. That's what prayer does. Prayer brings the supernatural intervention of God.
Jesus.
It's when God's super touches your natural. It's when God's super touches your natural. But let me just share this with you. Some of you praying for a miracle, but let me tell you something. God is not going to do what you can do. God will not do what you can do. Let me tell this side. God will not do what you can do. God do a miracle. Help me pay my rent. God said, you can get a job. Now, sometimes there's needs and that you need a miracle for that. And God will do that for you.
Right.
But when God knows you're a grown man, your arms work, your legs work, your head works, you can go get a J-O-B. Yeah. Well, God didn't come through for me. Yeah, because God won't do what you can do.
Right.
Faith without works is dead.
Right.
God says, come back to me when you really need something. When you really need my help. When you really need some power. When you really need a divine miracle from God.
Amen.
Huh? A supernatural intervention. And sometimes it may come in a negative. This is why I said, when people get you in the flesh, just let them get you in the flesh. You walk away, you let God handle them.
Come on, yeah.
Gotta take care of it.
Yeah.
You didn't even got to wish it on them. Come on, somebody. God's seen how they treated you. God's going to take care of it. How many can use a supernatural intervention today? How many can use a miracle today? How many can use some prayer today? How many have needs today? I'm going to call prayer leaders up. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to pray for your needs. If you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I can use a miracle. I can use a supernatural intervention. I can use some prayer. I got some needs. Then we want to pray for you. And we're going to close. But I have our prayer, some leaders are going to pray here this morning. Y'all get down there. Y'all get down. Oh, y'all need the oil?
Here you go.
Okay, here's the oil. And we're going to pray. So I want you to stand to your feet. My house, a house of prayer. I hope that after this message, if your house is already a house of prayer, you'll make it more of a house of prayer.
Amen.
If it's not a house of prayer, I pray that it will become a house of prayer. Amen. The worship team can come up too. I pray it becomes a house of prayer. I pray that you make it that your goal, that it will become a house of prayer. Let's spread out, even go through the L. Y'all stand on this side right here. Come around, go around. And I got a few of them to pray. A few people to pray. And if you could use a miracle this morning, come on, worship team, help us out. Come on, do something. If you need a miracle, you need intervention, or you need prayer, or if you have needs, what I want you to do is I want you to come before one of our prayer leaders here, and you could tell them what you need prayer for. And because we have so many people praying, it'll go by fast. So today, right there, if that's you, you say you need prayer or you need a miracle, I want you to come. I want you to come. We have men, we have women, and it's supposed to be men, women. So let's get that going. But you come. Come out of your seat. You come. Because I'm hungry. I'm like Jesus right now. I want some, take some of that food. But you come. Let's all come and receive prayer. I believe miracles are going to take place. I believe that God can intervene in our natural good this morning. So you come. Receive that prayer. We don't have no ladies on this side, girls. We need to spread out. It's supposed to be guy, girl. There's no ladies on this side of the hallelujah, Jesus.
Anointing, all on me.
somebody give the Lord some praise here this morning. Come on, somebody shout. Come on, how many feel a breakthrough this morning? My house, a house of prayer. Praise the Lord. Amen. Were you blessed this morning? We're so glad that you came here this morning. Listen, we have Taste for the Nations. Amen. Can we cut these lights on? Amen. Listen, I'm going to call my wife up here, and she's going to give us a few instructions. Amen. Let's cut all the house lights on. And I don't know, somebody, Gracie, if somebody can give us some instructions real quick on the Taste for the Nations. Does anybody know? Honey? She's going to give us instructions. Amen. For Taste for the Nations. Amen. We're going to set up the tables in here. Amen. So the food is out there. Amen. The food is out there. And then when you can go get your food, and then in here the tables are going to be set up, amen, so you can come back in here and eat. But let me get turn it over to my wife.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So what we have some tables already set up there with food inside the green room. It's right here, right when you walk out these doors to the right. There'll be two countries in there, and then in the children's ministry there'll be some more tables, and I believe outside there are some tables also. So once you get your ticket. You can purchase your ticket right out the doors. We're going to have someone set up there to purchase your ticket. Make sure you have that ticket, and wherever you go, they'll mark it as you go, and you're able to taste all the different foods. It's not just, you know, three or two you can taste. No, you can taste all the foods. Amen. And so it's going to be a great time right after here, right out the doors. They're going to be selling the tickets. Amen. And then you're welcome to come back in here and sit down and enjoy your food. Amen.
Amen. Let's pray for the food. Father, bless the food. Bless the time of fellowship. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, men. Let's fellowship. Amen. Sound man, Cooper's music.
Come on, come on.
Yeah. You have your keys, so I can put all this stuff.
Hey, I was gonna tell you whenever you put my stuff in there, you gotta put it in there right. Show my stuff love. This is not love right here, bro. Because when you do this stuff, even if I do it, fix it for me. Yeah. I gotta take care of my Bible. The other day I went, and you had my thing just smashed in there. I don't even know who this is.
I don't know who that is.
I ain't mine. But just take care of it with love. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
You can put it in there.
This is
just organize it. Sometimes you gotta organize it.
Okay.
Take your time and organize it.
Okay. Don't want to turn.
Okay.
You have your keys.
Yes.